Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm virtually here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio. Dee had the opportunity to meet with our friends at Helping Hands Veterinary Clinic in Carytown, and she did a actual two-part interview. What you're getting ready to listen to is part one of that, so enjoy.
Greetings, Bark Radio listeners. I'm here today with Lori and Jackie. And I am at Helping Hands in Richmond, Virginia, and Lori, who is the vet here and whose business this is, can tell us all about it. Welcome, Lori. Welcome, Jackie.
Thanks, Dee, for having us.
You are very welcome. Lori, tell the folks what Helping Hands is.
Well, Helping Hands started more as a selfish creation to get to do what I love to do all day long. I took all the things that I loved about my job and all the things that I didn't like about my job and threw them out the window. And now I get to do what I love to do exactly the way I want to do it all day long.
So you created your own version of veterinary medicine.
I did.
How cool is that?
Unbelievably cool.
And how long ago did you do that?
We started with the idea back in August of 2010. And my husband, who is an economist, so he has the business side. Jackie, who I worked with for probably 7 or 8 years, who I call my Jackie of all trades. She's my infamous and wonderful sidekick. I told them both about my idea, and they both loved it and immediately jumped on board. And basically, by November, we were slated to open.
3 months later?
3 months.
That is impressive.
Construction delays kept us not opening until February, but we just celebrated our first anniversary on February 17th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what is it that you threw out of your practice that you do not do that most vets do?
The biggest thing I hated about my job was negotiating for money.
Mm.
When people are distraught already with their animals not feeling well, the last thing they want to do is try to figure out how they're going to pay for all of this.
Or if they can afford it.
Right. And the anxiety really comes in because they don't know how much it's even going to cost them.
Mm.
So the first thing I did is I came up with fixed pricing. My husband helped me figure out what it would cost me to do a procedure, what my overheads would cost me. We're able to keep our overhead costs low by limiting what we do to only surgery and dental care.
Mm.
And then that's how we came up with our price. So they're fixed as low as we could make them and still stay in business.
Wow.
Then we added $5 to that price. So all of our prices end in five, and that $5 basically gets put aside. It doesn't go to us. It goes into the good citizen pot, if you will. So by using my service, you are forced into being a good citizen. So that when someone who can't even afford our already low prices, there's money set aside to be able to help them. But nothing is for free, right? So we don't just give that money away. We figure if the community is donating the money to us to help people who need it, then the people who receive it need to donate their time in return. So for every $10 we give them towards their pet's procedure, they owe an hour of community service either to us or to any animal rescue group in the area. Now, we limit that to only life-threatening situations. When we first opened, we were allowing anyone to take advantage, and we quickly realized we were going to be out of business in about 2 months if we kept that up.
So only life-threatening, which is that's appropriate.
Right. Well, all of our prices are so low that things that aren't imminently life-threatening, you know, we figure that people can save up for them or find ways. We do offer care credit, which is a interest-free payment program over 6 months.
Oh, cool.
So people can have that option to make payments as well.
So you're really setting folks up to be able to care for their dogs. Even if they are strapped for cash, the economy's bad, it's going to stay bad for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and there are always folks who love their animals, but don't happen to have a lot of money.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we figure. Everyone has time, but not everyone has money. So if they want to pay with their time, then we make that option available in those extreme situations.
Very, very cool. I love that little pot that you have for folks who seriously cannot afford something that that their dog has to have or that dog would die.
Right.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I really didn't like about my job, besides discussing finances, was sitting with people and having to spend the time with them when I wanted to spend all of my time with their animal. So to make things low cost, you have to cut corners somewhere. I decided to cut them on the human side as opposed to on the animal side. So I cut out all office visits and consultations. And so people basically have to trust in a way. I mean, certainly I will talk to them on the phone or come out and talk to them if I have time. But instead of spending a half an hour or half my day with all the people in the morning, I spend my entire day with the animals. And again, that's a cost savings to people to not have to pay to sit in a room with me and talk for half an hour about everything that's going to happen.
And I understand, Lori, that you're not just getting local clientele, that they're coming from all over to you.
It has been so humbling and so amazing. The word with the internet has just spread like wildfire, and people have traveled. We're able just to save them so much money to make it worth it. Probably the farthest north has been from Montreal, the farthest south from South Carolina.
Wow.
We almost had a dog who was going to be flown in from Florida, but it turned out not to be surgical in the end. But they knew somebody who was a pilot who was willing to fly the dog here if it turned out to
wow.
be surgical. Yeah.
That's just amazing. That did surprise you.
Oh, very much so.
You thought this was going to be a local gig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I never imagined people would travel. I mean, we get a lot from Charlottesville, Northern Virginia, and Tidewater, of course, because that's an easy drive.
So that, for our listeners who don't know, that's 50 to 100 miles away.
Yeah, an hour to 2 hours. Sometimes, I mean, Baltimore isn't uncommon either.
So that's 3 hours.
But probably on a daily basis, we have people come from Virginia Beach, Northern Virginia, and then, you know, on the extremes from that, it's just unbelievable.
And that's Jackie of All Trades talking.
That's me.
So Jackie, what do you think about this business?
This is a dream come true. It has been amazing and fun and rewarding. And though I think we would agree that we always hit the pillow at nighttime and we're very tired, when we get up in the morning, I think we hit the ground running wondering what adventures we're going to have that day, because it's amazing. It's amazing the things that we do for the animals and for the people who love them.
Well, one of the things I'm curious about, Lori, and you can share this with our listeners, typically, what are the surgeries that you perform most?
Probably the most common would be tumor removals.
Okay.
Lumps and bumps of various shapes and sizes, I would say most commonly. We do a lot of what I would call plastic surgery, if you will, fixing eyelids that are rolling in and out, removing ear growths and reconstructing ears.
Really?
Cats, we oftentimes have to do what we call a sex change because they get urinary obstructions from stones. So we do plastic surgery to ultimately change their sex.
Wow.
A lot of intra-abdominal foreign body removals, dogs that swallow things that they shouldn't, is very common.
And how often does that happen?
Yeah. C-sections for dogs that have trouble giving birth.
Wow.
And dental procedures.
Right. And then dentals, of course.
Yeah. Dentals, most of the time, being non-surgical per se, no different than you or I going to have our teeth cleaned. But we do a lot of those, and you know, that's been really rewarding because our prices are where they are. People can come in and have a dental procedure done that they've been putting off for years because they've been quoted $600 and $800. Recently, we had two cats come from Northern Virginia. They had been quoted $2,500 a cat.
To do what?
So a dental, just
clean their teeth.
And so we did their two cats. And of course, at our price, they had blood work as well. So for $400, they had their two cats done compared to $5,000.
No wonder they're coming here, Lori and Jackie. Good grief.
And it's the same procedure that, you know, the pets are having done elsewhere. We limit what we do, so we don't have to stock our shelves with the diarrhea medicine and the, you know, the medicines that you keep in there, the vomiting, the diarrhea, you know, the vaccines, the heart guard. We're able to stock our shelves with what we need for surgery, what we need for dental care, and that's how we can keep our prices low, and we work really hard.
I got that.
Well, we do have a very small staff. It's just the three of us, and we do rely a lot on the volunteers, and that has really been a big help. We don't have to pay a full staff. So again, that keeps our costs low. We really thought that the volunteers would come from people whose animals we've saved, but we're finding that most of the people who volunteer on a regular basis, we've never touched their animal. They're just happy to be here and be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they get here early in the morning. They help us get the animals checked in. They clean up during the day. I mean, they keep us rolling. We have one animal coming off the surgical table, and Lori and I will be recovering it. They're already in surgery, mopping the floors and cleaning up. you know, they are just incredible, and they stay until the end of the day. They're the ones passing them off at the end of the day and making sure everything's put away and tidy and neat and clean. And if they didn't do that, it would get done, but it would mean that Lori and I would stay an extra 2 hours to make sure it gets accomplished and that it's finished before we walked out. And then we'd probably get here early to finish it up because we'd probably be too tired to finish everything up. So having the volunteers is a huge asset in, you know, not only for the physical work they give, but when we have animals that are, you know, waking up and sometimes they're confused and they're scared. They don't know where they are. They won't remember it in 2 hours, but in the moment they don't know where they are. And we have volunteers that sit in the cages and pet them and comfort them. And so we can move on to the next animal.
And not knowing, worry about that one.
Yeah, that one's being loved and hugged on. And, you know,
that's fabulous.
They're awesome. They're awesome.
This just strikes me as not, somehow, it's not a modern thing. This seems like something almost out of a country vet situation years ago, you know, a really good country vet, where not everyone here working within these walls is a professional.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
They're just people who love animals, but you coordinate it so well and you allow them to do what they love to do, and it works for everyone.
And what they can do. We have some volunteers who have never laid their eyes on a surgical procedure. They have no interest in blood, makes them, you know, weak in the knees, but they'll sit in cages and pet the animals as they
That's
wake
fabulous.
Up. They'll sweep. They'll, you know, they just, they, we ask them, we say, we will never ask you to do something that you're uncomfortable with. So if we ever ask you to do something that you're not sure of, just let us know and we'll find you something else to do. And they pretty much walk in and tell us, they say, if I see blood, I'm going down.
And we don't want that.
But usually after a couple of days, they're actually very interested in peeking out of the corner of their eye, and they get used to it. And it's not as terrible as they think it is. And I think that's a big thing too. It's been a huge for public education, the people that come in here, and then they realize what it's all about and that it's not as scary as people think it is. And
it's a mystery otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
And
what
so
goes on behind those doors?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that they're so appreciative of the fact they even get to see what goes on behind the door. Like a lot of people feel like there's always that secret door they can never go behind. So they love the fact that we actually let them in and let them help and do things.
Well, that's it. I think it's just such a unique way to do business. And this is a business, but it's such a wonderful business.
Well, if everybody took their talent and used it to help others, the world would be a much better place.
Oh, wouldn't it though? All right, Miss Lori, tell our listeners where to find you online.
We have a website at www.helpinghandsvetva.com. where we list our mission, but also all of our procedures and prices, so you know before you walk in the door what you'd be expected to pay.
Excellent.
There's a little bit about me and Jackie there, and I think we've put on there some of our wonderful local news features and our feature on Good Morning America, which was really exciting.
That was very cool. I viewed that the other day. Great job.
Yeah.
Awesome, exciting, man. And you're on Facebook?
Yes, also on Facebook and Twitter. We try to post pictures of what we do. We try to keep it a little bit tame and educational, but fun too. Sometimes we gross people out by putting unusual pictures of some of the procedures we do, but we mix it in with just fun pictures of the animals that we help too.
But it's interesting to see that sometimes a picture, and like Lori said, we try and keep it clean, you know, so that people want to look, but they can see something, but it usually prompts a whole discussion of, well, how does this happen? How do you prevent it? And so they can learn. They learn from looking at just something as simple as a funny-looking picture, and sometimes we do try and lighten it up by, well, we've had Thor sit beside a few growths just for size comparison because he only weighs 3 pounds. So when you see that we've taken...
And Thor is?
Thor is our mascot, our Helping Hands boss, the office manager. He demands attention and we give it to him.
And what breed is he?
He is a Chihuahua and he weighs 3 pounds. And, you know, we unfortunately for Thor, we've made him sit beside these growths, which he's a good sport. He just sort of thinks, Mom, if you're going to make me do it, I guess it must be okay. But what's really interesting is that when we put him beside a mammary tumor, a breast cancer, you know, ultimately, and we say, look, this growth is larger than Thor, people say, oh my gosh, that's huge. What do I do? Well, you get it off early. That first time you notice the bump, you spay your dogs so that perhaps you can prevent it from ever occurring in the first place. So little Thor sitting beside a great big mammary tumor that might be two or three times his size really makes people go, gee whiz, I thought because I just had my little dog and it stayed in the house all the time and would never get pregnant, I didn't have to spay it. But now I see why I should.
Visuals are huge.
They are.
They're huge. Well, ladies, thank you so much for talking to us. What I want our listeners to know, too, is that Lori Pasternak is going to be our regular columnist, our vet columnist with my magazine, Wolfs and Wags. So I want you all to make sure you read her column. It's going to be great. And I think I've talked her into being a regular visitor on Bark Radio. Lori, is that right?
I think that would be fantastic.
Excellent. Love to. Excellent. Thank you, ladies. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for coming.